Well, good evening to all of you. I'm hoping you can hear me all right. I'm so glad all of you can make it out to hear me today. I know Dave went out of his way to advertise my preaching tonight, and I'm thankful for that. Usually today would be a lesson on the New Year's being that close to it, having some implication to making resolutions and bettering ourselves. But I wanted to do something a little different from that, since it's usually the norm, and Dave touched on it a little bit this morning as well. I want to talk about a point that I found a little profound in it. It's called surrendering for the victory. The word surrender means to give up control, usually to another being. And its antonym, resistance, means to struggle against someone's control. We find examples of this through the Bible all around. There are so many of them that I had a tough time deciding which ones I wanted to bring up. But I decided on three of them. The first one being Jonah, if you'll turn there just for a moment. We all know the story of Jonah, but I'd like to just read a few verses from it. The first, I'd like to read verse 1 through 3. Now the word of God came to Jonah, the son of Amodia, I hope I said that right, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of God, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah didn't answer God's call. Instead, he ran from it as fast as he could in the opposite direction of the way he was supposed to go. And he didn't get away with it. Very quickly, we read that God sent a storm down upon him, and they had to toss him overboard to calm the waves. And eventually he ended up in the belly of a fish to die. But he finally surrendered himself. And in the belly of the fish, he prayed to God. And God heard him, and he completed his mission. The next one I would like to go to is Moses. I'm not going to read any scriptures from that. I'd just like to bring up some points from him. But God spoke to Moses, giving him a command too, saying, "Go to Pharaoh." But Moses resisted him and gave all manner of excuses, coming up with this or that of why he shouldn't go. But eventually, he surrendered to God to meet Pharaoh, who resisted him and fought God with all his being. Pharaoh fought against terrible plagues and still resisted God until he lost his life to it. And then the final point, the final example I like to bring up, which I like to speak a little more on, is found in Acts 9, talking about Saul. This is again a tale that we know very well. It's the conversion of Saul. I like to begin though in chapter 8. Verse 3, where it reads, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women to commit them to prison." We know Saul resisted the words of the Lord and fought against his church, doing all manner of horrible, unspeakable things to its to the disciples. But then we turn to chapter 9, verse 1, and this, we read Saul is still going after the church. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priests and asked them letters for him to the synagogues of Damascus. So that he found anyone So if he found anyone who was of the way, whether it be man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. It says here that he was still breathing threats of murder. That's a pretty harsh language, meaning he was bound with all intent and purpose to destroy these people. But then we see a dramatic change in his person in just the next few verses. We read verses 3 through 8. As he journeyed, he came nearer to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone upon him from the heavens. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said to him, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, and I would like to pause right there. We just read about a man who is breathing threats against the kingdom, to then crumble to the ground, fall to the ground, and tremble in astonishment. Continuing on, then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. So then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Again, in verse 8, we see that he arose and immediately did as he was told. With no question, no resistance, having complete surrender to this amazing sight of Jesus. In the next verses, we read of how a prophet and Ananias came to him and told him about Christ and baptized him. And then in verse 20, immediately after he had been baptized and he spent days with the disciples, immediately he preached Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Saul at this moment didn't hesitate at all to preach the word. He immediately turned around, had surrendered himself, and turned 180 degrees around, and surrendered himself to Christ, and immediately began to preach him to others. Each of these examples resisted God in some way. Jonah ran from God in the complete opposite direction after he had been told something. Pharaoh fought tooth and nail against God and eventually lost his life to it. And Saul, thinking that his way was better than Jesus, persecuted and sought to destroy it. I ask you, if you're not a Christian today, Which one are you? Are you Jonah running away, or are you Pharaoh trying to fight against everything he does for you, or are you Saul, so oblivious to the truth that you fight him anyways? No matter which one you are, you can't win against God. There's no victory in a fight against the Lord, for He always is there. He's omnipresent and omnipotent. There is no defeat against Him. There is no victory against Him. Only defeat. But if you go with Him, as Jonah did, Moses, and Saul, later Paul, they all receive their victory. Jonah sort of did. They all received their gifts. And so I ask you, would you like to have your victory, no longer having the dread of defeat against you, but the promise of victory? Excuse me, my mouth is getting dry. Jesus has extended his hand out to you that you may no longer have any defeat, but only victory. Victory over death and an eternal life in heaven. For he said, for Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So through Jesus, there is no victory. There is no hope for you. The only defeat and death, as Pharaoh experienced. But Jesus has extended his hand out to you, asking you to take his hands, to receive it, and to have your victory. To do so, he only asks you to do a few simple steps. To hear his words, Romans 10:13. To believe he is the Son of God, John 8:24. To repent of your sins, Acts 2:28. To confess him before men, Acts 8:37. To be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be put into his death, Mark 16:16, and then to remain faithful for the end of your days, Revelation 2:10. He laid out just the simplest plan for you, and it's of no cost to you, only that you give your life to him. This is his message for you today. If you have any need, I ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.